Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Got a lot of things to talk about. I just want to welcome everyone to Global Star Radio Network, of course, streaming us live. Folks, we broadcast live Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Our website, HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com. In fact, if you haven't seen it today, I'd recommend everyone do go there. Got some very interesting articles. I did put up an article myself today, early this morning about what I think is comparable or analogous to the, situation taking place as far as fake news is concerned. If you haven't read it, I would request that you do read it and, have a look exactly at what I'm talking about. I'm distracted here a little bit momentarily. I'll be right there with you here. I'm looking for something. It's interesting because we have a situation developing, of course, in Europe and specifically in Germany, where the attacker, the individual, the terrorist that struck the Berlin market, of course, it appears to be on the loose. The police have been questioning the wrong guy for, 12 hours or so, and realized, hey, wait a second, we've got the wrong guy. So, German police suspect was armed and still at large in the Christmas market massacre. Now, folks, obviously, I don't think I have to tell you that, this is in fact a war. It's a religious war. It's a war that's, based on culture and religiously motivated. It's Islam versus everyone else. But again, Islam has been weaponized. So we have to look at not just what is taking place, and I say this often, not just what's taking place in one specific area, that being Berlin. In this case, the horrific accident or horrific terrorist attack I could not believe some of the media reports initially calling it a potential accident. It really struck me the wrong way with that. But more on that as we get into the program. We've got a great program for you lined up today. We've got Andrew Kerr coming at the bottom of the hour. Andrew Kerr has been doing some tremendous work, and I cannot believe that a place like Fox News has not picked up on his work, given the fact that he has exposed the David Brock's super PAC, as well Media Matters, the monetary stuff going on with Brock, Media Matters for America, and some of the other things. In fact, David Brock's Media Matters has hidden, according to Andrew Kerr, well over $1 million from the IRS over the last 6 years. Now, he was on to talk about that before, but further investigation also, he has made other discoveries as well. And I've got some of my own that I'm going to share with Andrew Kerr when he comes on. So his website is thecitizensaudit.com. And then in hour two, we've got the Patriot Nurse coming on. Oh, how many people have requested her to come on? My goodness. I cannot wait for that. She is, one of the most, she's an incredibly popular on the video side of things, talking about everything from guns to, you know, when the stuff hits the fan scenario. And then in hour three, of course, we've got Stan Dale coming on. And for those folks who are night owls, I spoke to George Norrie. I'll be on Coast to Coast tonight, for a little brief news segment, checking in with their news at the beginning of the hour, kind of giving an update of the Berlin massacre and, of course, the assassination of the Russian ambassador. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. So all of these together, really kind of making up the news, or really the news segments, I should say. Now, let me get my notes here together a little bit, because I've got some other issues as well I wanted to talk to you about. By the way, if you have not gotten yourself a copy of this book, Clinton Cash, if you really want an understanding, and a lot of good information, I'm not really holding this book up well. For those watching on YouTube, you can see this book. The author, of course, is Peter Schweitzer, and he's been on numerous television programs. This is still relevant, folks. The Clinton Foundation is, and the Clintons are still relevant to the extent that there's still criminality involved. There's unpunished criminality, and the criminality continues, as evidenced or illustrated by this author and his findings. It's interesting as well, a couple of other, and I'm going to hit these in no particular order, but some things that are on our radar here at the Hagmann Studio. Federal court, no conflict between practicing Christian faith and processing same-sex marriage licenses. Now, with all the news that's going on, why that? Why pick something like that out? Well, stating that there is no objective conflict between one's duties as a deputy county clerk and religious opposition to same-sex marriage, a federal district court has ruled that an Indiana county was justified in firing a deputy clerk who declined to process a same-sex marriage licenses. Linda Summers was fired after she made known her opposition to processing same-sex marriage licenses because of her religious convictions. And she maintained that her beliefs could have been accommodated by assigning the processes to other employees of the Harrison County Clerk's Office. Okay. These small battles, or seemingly small battles, small issues, are not really that small. Okay. When you put this into the federal court system, and I've seen an attack or attacks, multiple attacks by the progressive Marxist left that, oh my goodness, if you've got a religious objection to this, you should not be working at the county, and on and on and on. The reason this is extremely important is it's not an isolated situation. This is being done to change both the culture, the dynamics of our culture, and more importantly, the dynamics of our Judeo-Christian structure here in America. And that's what really, you have to look at the bigger picture, because in order to have the system that we have replaced by a one world government and a one world religion, you've got to destroy the tenets of our Judeo-Christian religious beliefs. And then you have to insert in place of those beliefs the tenets of, for example, the New World Religion. So that's what's taking place there. And this is all part and parcel to, when you look at the June 26, 2015 homosexual ruling by the Supreme Court. Now understand that judicial supremacy is a lie, and understand that the Supreme Court does not have the ability to make law, except to the extent that we, the people, allow it and believe it to be so. In other words, the Supreme Court was never designed to do what it's doing today and what it has done over the last 50 or so years. And this is part and parcel to that. So the government in this case is clearly saying that, you know, your religious convictions, your beliefs, too bad. You cannot use that in your to defend against not doing your job. And the left has really taken this on in a big way. So some other news, and I'm going to kind of hit a couple of just some topics here that I think that everyone should really kind of pay attention to. Merkel, if you take a look at the groundswell of opposition against Angela Merkel of Germany subsequent to the terror attacks in Berlin, you're going to see that people are uprising. There's an uprising against the globalist agenda. Let them all in. Come on in. And if you look at some of the forums, and we've identified, and this is something we're getting some legal advice on, but we've identified the clear political operatives who are, and I'm not exactly 100% sure where or who is paying these people, whether it's the government, taxpayer dollars, or what the situation is, but they're really ginning up the they're advancing the narrative in many conversations. For example, let me go back to same-sex marriages, for example, which is an oxymoron. There's this vast, huge push by these people who will comment in forums and guide the conversation, create a lot of animus towards anyone who does not conform to the civil statutes and antagonize those adhering to religious beliefs. For example, in the Berlin terrorist attacks, you've got the very same people, the very same IP addresses that we found in our investigations that are making some very similar comments to divert the topic and to advance the refugee program. And you might think, well, this is nothing new. But when you look at the landscape as a whole and you say, wait a minute, these are the same IP addresses that are making these comments on different high-profile websites on the internet, there's a pattern here to divert the conversation. I'm not sure if I made that clear, but nonetheless, there are similarities here that we really have to pay attention to, I think. There was, by the way, and you might hear about this, 27 dead, dozen injured after an explosion at a Mexico fireworks market. Now that it's just on the outskirts of Mexico City. If you haven't seen those photographs, wow. There's a huge plume of charcoal gray smoke that billowed up in the sky. 27 people apparently were killed in this open air market just outside of Mexico City. Some news about the fake news. And I would just urge everyone to go to HagmanReport.com as well at this point to talk about or to read about the fake news. The title is Silencing the Messengers. And this is something that I've been thinking about in terms of what we're seeing, to brace ourselves for work, to understand what we're seeing here. And let me just conversationally throw this out to you, because I do believe that what is going to be taking place here, what's going to be happening. You heard Brittany Pettibone yesterday. I think what's going to be happening here is this. We are going to see a clampdown on fake news like never before, or what is purported to be fake news. But with all of the talk about Pizzagate and all of the talk about the emails that were, or WikiLeaks, for example, I posit this scenario in my article. And I'm not going to read the article, but just conversationally, let me tell you what I was thinking about earlier today. Just imagine yourself as just a normal, obviously a normal citizen. You're walking by, or you live in a town, we'll say, that you know, that everyone knows that in this particular house, in this three-story brownstone walk-up, we'll say, the person that lives in that house is believed to be a pedophile or a criminal or, you know, just this huge, well, we'll say like an Al Capone type, but even worse. All right. And as you walk by the house, you see, you see the front window cracked open a little bit, and you kind of look, and inside, just past the window, just beyond the window, you see a table, and on the table, you see a journal, a big journal, handwriting journal. And you look through the window, and you see on the cover of the journal, written, map to the bodies, or some, I mean, think of something that would make you believe that that journal would have some sort of significance to criminal activity that would provide answers. We'll say there were missing children over the course of a couple of years, and all the townspeople believe that this individual might have been responsible for it. You know what I'm talking about. You get the feeling here. But here you are. You're walking by the house. You see an open, or you see a window unlocked and open a little bit, and you see on the table this book, and it presumably would contain information about unsolved crimes and criminal activity of the individual that so far has never seen the inside of a courtroom. What do you do? What would you do? You look around and no one's around. Kind of peek around and no one seems to be home. The book would be in, the journal would be in reach. As a Christian, I'm going to toss this out to you. As a Christian, if you would take that book from that table, you'd actually be breaking and entering, or you'd be stealing too, right? Trespassing, criminal trespass, breaking and entering. I mean, you name the crime. But what happens if that same person, that the owner of that book, is really good friends with the police chief of the town, or perhaps the mayor of the town, but for whatever reason appears to be unprosecutable? And what happens if, we'll say that that same suspect owns the majority of stock in the town newspaper, the county newspaper? Who do you take the book to? Can't take it to the police, because obviously the police have been compromised to some extent because of their relationship with, or the incestuous relationship to, that individual. Can't take it to the newspaper. Because why? Because obviously the suspect owns, we'll say in theory, the majority of the newspaper. So what do you do with it? And perhaps his cousin might be higher up in the Department of Justice on a state or federal level. You see what the point I'm trying to make? I think it's pretty analogous, or somewhat consistent with, or could be considered consistent with, WikiLeaks. You've, a citizen finds evidence, or sees evidence, suspected evidence of criminal activity, and exposes it for all of the world to see. And in my thinking, remember when the Center for Medical Progress went into Planned Parenthood and got just hours upon hours upon hours of video and audio tape? The fake news that we're seeing today, that moniker of fake news, improper as it is to silence the exposure of the crimes of the heretofore unprosecutable. That's what I believe. When you have people like Brittany Pettibone come on, or Tara from Reality Calls, or Andrew Kerr, who's got just a tremendous amount of information about Media Matters for America, and you've got the Center for Medical Progress, just a tremendous amount of information about abortion. Not just abortion, but the potential alleged sale of body parts of aborted children. The global elite cannot afford to allow this information to continue. They just can't. They can't afford to be exposed. In continued exposure, we see this continued exposure through citizens who will take this information and investigate themselves, create an investigative work product that, frankly, is comparable to some of the best investigative work products I've seen by police agencies. And they become the targets. They become the prosecuted and the persecuted. The spotlight is taken away from the criminal or the criminals and put on the messenger, put on the person that took the book. And even more to me, sadly, even more sadly to me, is I see some, not all, but some Christians saying to the person who would expose the larger crimes, "You can't do that. That's unchristian-like behavior." Now, I'm trying to reconcile that in my mind. And folks, maybe you can help me do that. I don't know. I'm trying to reconcile that in my mind, where how can a Christian take to task a person who is exposing a huge criminal enterprise, or perhaps allegedly the sale of murdered baby parts? How can a Christian use Bible scripture as a weapon against those exposing that particular activity? But we're seeing that more and more. And we're seeing the divide within the body of the church grow bigger. And I submit to you that the ankle biters, such as those Christians or self-proclaimed Christians who will use scripture and cite scripture saying, "Oh, that man that, or that person or that agency or that individual who operated undercover, infiltrated, for example, Planned Parenthood," which is legal, by the way. It's standard investigative practice in many cases. I mean, I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of it, but I'll just make the blanket statement that in general, it's not an issue. Certainly not a crime if you enter under pretext, and of course you've got an investigation you're conducting. But the larger issue is that many Christians, and I believe this to be the case, many Christians and even some conservatives and conservative Christians will go after the person, the so-called messenger. I said all of that to say this. I believe that the biggest threat that we have as the independent media will come from within our own conservative circles. We know about the George Soroses. We know about the Hillary Clintons. We know about the David Brocks and the Snopes people. We know about all of these. We used to have a saying when we, or not a saying, but philosophy, or I don't even know what you'd call it, but when we did, for example, when we conducted surveillance, you know, just kind of like on TV, the surveillance van, the old construction van, high-tech surveillance equipment. Usually, it's not the person or the subject of the surveillance or the investigation that winds up tanking the surveillance. If you get made, for example, or if something happens where the surveillance is exposed, usually that's not where it comes from. Sometimes it comes from within. I've seen it happen. Come from within the agency itself. I've seen it come from within the chain of command. But most often, it comes from a direction that you're never expecting, you never see coming, or you never expect to see coming. And that, folks, is my message. I would warn everybody, caution everybody, when we're looking to expose the criminality, we need to expect the and prepare ourselves for things that we will never see coming. In other words, we can't, you know, look, we can't prepare for everything. But one thing we can do, we know who the enemies are. We know that there's always a threat of backlash and exposure from the enemies, but oftentimes it's what you don't expect or the direction you never see it coming from that is the genesis, the origin of the compromise of the investigation. So all citizen journalists, I take my hat off to all reasonable, sensible, articulate citizen journalists like Brittany Pettibone, like Tara from Reality Calls, like Andrew Kerr. They've got my utmost respect. But it is those individuals and us and others, including but not limited to InfoWars, True News, Dave Hodges and Ted Brower, and people who are exposing on a journalist level the threat from within, folks, in my estimation, from people ostensibly are our friends, is greater now more than ever before, and we have to be very careful. You know, we could have talked about the Berlin terror attack. You know what that is. The refugees, you know what that is. 2016 might have been the year of revelation and change. 2017 is going to be the year of greater change, I believe, and also backlash. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. We're going to be coming back with Andrew Kerr. We're going to be talking about David Brock's Super PAC, Media Matters for America. Stay right where you're at. Ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, you know, it's often that I think about this young man, Andrew Kerr. He's an investigative reporter at thecitizensaudit.com. And the reason I think about him is because he's doing incredible work to expose the just so much about the financial aspects of things like Media Matters for America that they don't want you to know. And if you go to thecitizensaudit.com, did I say that, or did I say something else? Thecitizensaudit.com, that's his website, in case I misstated that. Thecitizensaudit.com is Andrew Kerr's website. This man has done some incredible research, right on the money research, about pressing issues in the news, but also about Media Matters for America. And if this does not make the mainstream media, well, I shouldn't say the mainstream media. If this does not make, we'll say, Hannity's program, or if this does not grab the attention of somebody high profile who still has the integrity and character to carry a story like this, I don't know what will or who will. But this research that he's done, the latest research, is so important because it does dissect the money trail behind the power and influence in Washington, D.C. So Andrew Kerr has got, you've got to visit thecitizensaudit.com and read the latest reports from Andrew Kerr. I'll just say this about him. He worked several years in the IT business, acquiring extensive knowledge of data management and analytics building off a degree in computer science. Now, he's used this to his advantage to investigate and do the research that he's doing. And the mission of thecitizensaudit.com is to empower Americans, you and I, to hold their government accountable. He's doing a great service for us to hold our government accountable. And with that, I'm going to bring on Andrew Kerr from thecitizensaudit.com. Mr. Kerr, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on.
That's great. When you were on the last time, we had broached the subject of course, you being the founder of the and senior editor of This Is the Law, that we would broach the subject of who is David Brock, somewhat in the context of Pizzagate as a tangential issue, his relationship to Comet Ping Pong owner James Elefantis, but the David Brock specifically connection with Media Matters and the Bonner Group. That's what we talked about last time. What have you, or let's just give a recap, if you don't mind, Mr. Kerr, give a recap of those findings, your findings from last time that you were on, and let's get into some new material.
Sure. Well, to sum it all up into a quick soundbite, Media Matters for America is a nonprofit charitable organization. Big-time donors like George Soros are making million-dollar checks to Media Matters, and they're deducting that from, you know, as a, you know, deduction at the end of the year. Their mission statement is to correct conservative misinformation in the media, but in reality, they're a political organization. They directly involve themselves in Hillary Clinton's campaign. They share office space with 13 separate organizations. It's kind of just like a nerve center of organizations, multiple super PACs, 7 nonprofits, a professional solicitor, the Bonner Group, that has some registration issues, that's raising money for all of them, and that's passing money from one organization to another, hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time, and the Bonner Group gets a 12.5% cut every time. And so just so much stuff is happening here. You know, starting in 2012, I believe, or even before that, a lot of organizations on the right were asking, hey, why is Media Matters still a nonprofit, tax-deductible organization? Why isn't anybody auditing them? Why isn't anybody looking into this?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many stories out there of people just asking, hey, why isn't anybody looking at Media Matters? And I'm just standing up and saying, okay, I'm going to look at Media Matters and see what's available in the public realm. And there's an unbelievable amount of information that's just sitting out there waiting for somebody to talk about it. And I'm kind of going out on a limb and talking about it, exercising my right to free speech and free press. And thank you for having me on your program again to talk about this, because the influence that Media Matters has is enormous. They brag about removing influential voices off of the airwaves, such as Glenn Beck, Lou Dobbs. Regardless of what you feel about those two individuals, they were taken off of Fox News and CNN respectively because of the pressure that Media Matters put on CNN and Fox. So in my opinion, these guys no longer deserve to have their tax-exempt status, and that's what I'm fighting for here with this story, is, you know, bringing out the facts and trying to put a limelight on the way that these people are operating their business.
Okay.
It's fraudulent.
Which, and I agree. And folks, if you go to thecitizensaudit.com, check out, Andrew Kerr's article, report from, I'm going to call them reports because that's what they are, from December 13th and also from December 15th. Just for people who might not know, Media Matters for America is a watchdog group, far left progressive watchdog group that supposedly is tasked with fighting fake news, I suppose, right? What do they do? What's their primary mission, Media Matters for America?
Well, in their tax documents, you know, nonprofit organizations have to have a mission statement.
Right.
And their mission statement is to correct conservative misinformation in the media. But they, over the past couple of years, they've strayed away from that mission. They just acted as a Hillary Clinton defender. And now, if you look at, like, if you just search fake news on Media Matters website, you're going to get hundreds of articles come up,
right,
about the dangers of fake news. And so they're really pushing this fake news narrative. And that is frightening to me, because it doesn't seem like they're really going after fake news, or just going after independent media sources.
And that's it, Andrew, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we're in the crosshairs of this supposed agenda to clean up the news arena, to clean up the news and make sure that the citizens are treated to the real news and not some fake, fictitious, false news. But you and I and others, programs like ours, and like this and your work, we're in the crosshairs of these people who want to censor, keep the information away from, the accurate information away from the people. I'm very concerned about this fake news and this Russia propaganda stuff, because again, we are the targets, right?
Yeah, but you know, I think that it's a scary thought to think that people are truly wanting to have less voices in the media. You know, we live in a free society, and the more voices that we get, the more opinions, the more independent voices that we receive and process, the better decisions we're going to make. The most successful business people are the ones that listen to more voices. They listen to dissenting voices.
Right.
Kind of like Abraham Lincoln and his team of rivals. Why on earth, in a free society, would we want to limit the news sources that we can get for, you know, just to have, you know, for instance, with Facebook, they're allowing 4 organizations to determine what is fact and what is fiction. It's way too much to give to such a small amount of people. I don't understand how anybody could be supportive of this, regardless of what your political opinions are.
No, I totally agree with that. You know, we're watching, I mean, one thing that concerns me is the fact that we are more vulnerable now than ever before. We as a independent news, we as independent news bodies, you've got, I mean, my goodness, you've got some unknown associate professor at a community college, Melissa Zinders, who created this list or this criteria for fake news. And then you've got the prop or not, which it seems at some point to have some Ukrainian connection. But anyway, that's just a silly website that was legitimized only by the Washington Post. So all of this, but nonetheless, you know, here we are sitting in the crosshairs. And your work is at stake. Your investigative work product is at stake. Media Matters, the very organization that supposedly fights against the fake news, is propagating the fake news and profiting perhaps by it, for example, hiding, perhaps allegedly hiding well over $1 million from the IRS since 2010. And you explained that. And most recently, David Brock's super PAC has made over $1 million on rent payments to a company that might not exist. They don't want this information out there. And I will say this, if you read, folks, read the reports at thecitizensaudit.com and read exactly what's going on here with Media Matters for America, because, and follow the steps with Andrew's research. But they don't want this news out. We are a threat to them. Andrew Kerr is a threat to them, and they want to shut him and us down. But, okay. Let's get into Media Matters here. I don't want to take up too much of your time here, but let's get into Media Matters and your latest findings, obviously, with respect to these rent payments. Do you want to go through that, or you okay with that, going through that?
Yeah, let's go into that. So let's start with first the hiding $1 million from the IRS since 2010.
Okay.
So the IRS, well, before going into that, like I said before, Media Matters shares office space with 13 organizations.
Yes.
And those organizations are making rent payments to Media Matters. So Media Matters owns the entire 6th floor of 455 Massachusetts Avenue, mm-hmm, in Washington, D.C. And then these other 13 entities are paying, are subletting space from Media Matters. That's okay. There's nothing wrong there. But what's really wrong is the fact that Media Matters is not reporting that rental income, that sublet rental income, in their, to the IRS in their annual tax returns, their Form 990s, which are available for public review. The IRS provides 2 specific instructions in regard to reporting sublet rental income. Either report it as program service revenue or report the rental income as gross rents. And that, it just, the way you determine that is if the organizations that's making the sublet rental income or rental payments, are they related to the organization's tax exempt status, the emission statement, or are they not? But regardless, there's 1 of 2 options in order to report those dollars. And since 2010 to 2014, which is the latest tax return document, Media Matters is reporting $0 in both of those fields. So how do we know that they're receiving this money? For instance, in 2014, I uncovered Media Matters' audited financial statements, which provides a lot more detail in regards to their, you know, how they're managing their money.
Right.
And they admit that we received $290,000 in sublet rental income from these specific companies. It actually names them out. And it's
right,
the organization that they share office space with. So they say that, yeah, $290,000 in sublet rental income and that they earned in their financial statements, but they're not reporting it to the IRS. And the IRS says you must report sublet rental income as revenue or as gross rents in these specific spots that I highlight on the report.
Exactly.
But it's not there. So okay. That's a massive discrepancy. So where's that money going? Are they counting it as donations? If so, then that should raise some red flags because, rental income isn't a donation, or are they just not reporting it anywhere and just pocketing it? We don't know. We're looking at this from the outside looking in. We can't tell what they're doing with this money, but we can tell it's a fact that they are receiving dollars in sublet rental income that they're not reporting to the IRS as okay. they're supposed to. So it's a big deal.
Right. Oh, it's a huge deal. And you, in your report, and folks, again, thecitizensaudit.com. Am I right on that? The citizensaudit.com. I don't know why I was thinking something else here. But when you look at the financial statements for Media Matters, which, yeah, this is a non-profit. This, of course, is one of the biggest, organizations, groups that are in the fight against the exposure, in my view anyway, the exposure of the truth. The audited financial statements for Media Matters from 2007 to 2014, which can be found in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, their nonprofit search database. Anyone can look this up. You can see, when you compare, by the way, Media Matters IRS Form 990 annual returns, these financial statements provide much more insight into how Media Matters operates. And folks, take a look at this. Go to Andrew Kerr's website. And by comparing the two set of documents, you've discovered that David Brock and his allies appear to be pocketing sublet rental income. Yet, and this is the key here, and I'm just going to reiterate this. You write, here's what's happening. This report will focus on, for example, fiscal year 2014. Media Matters is claiming two separate values for occupancy expenses in 2014 to the IRS. Media Matters is claiming total occupancy expenses of about $1 million, we'll say. It's $924,454 to be exact, but we'll say $1 million. Sublet rental income is zero. And then in their financial statements, however, they're claiming total occupancy expenses $1.2 million and sublet rental income of almost $300,000. How in the heck can that be?
Yeah, and in their financial statement, it says, so this is a quote, total rent expense for the year ended December 31st, 2014 was approximately $924,000,
yep.
Net of sublease income of approximately $290,000. So just add up the two numbers, and that gives the, you know, the gross occupancy expenses.
Can you see, and Andrew, let's pretend for a moment we're in a courtroom. Can you see, knowing what you know, having the information that you have right now, knowing what you know, can there be a harmless, innocuous explanation for this?
I don't know, because, I mean, this is how blatant it is. IRS instructions state, do not net any rental income received from leasing or subletting rental space.
Right.
In the financial statements from Media Matters, total rent expense for the year ending 2014 was approximately $900,000 net of sublease rental income. IRS states, do not net rental income. Media Matters is netting rental income.
There you go.
I mean, and I've been sitting on this for months because this is a damning allegation.
I have those
two quotes side by side in the article, and it's just like, I mean, it would be irresponsible of me not to publish these findings for people to review because it's just so like blatant. Like, how could they talk themselves out of this? I don't know.
Well, and where are the watchdog agencies on this? And ladies and gentlemen, you might think that this is so far in left field. This is really harmless, meaningless, but this, you start yanking at these financial threads, and anyone, and I know we've got police officers, detectives listening, former detectives, hi Bob and Maggie, we've got many people who know the investigations. When you see this and you start tugging at these threads, a whole lot of other stuff is going to be coming out, right? I mean, that's what I see.
Finding their audit financial statements wasn't an easy thing. They're available on Massachusetts nonprofit search database, but that, For instance, there's a website called GuideStar.org that is like the go-to resource to find out financials for nonprofit organizations. GuideStar doesn't have their Media Matters audited financial statements. You could pay GuideStar like $100 for a report, but it's not going to have their audited financial statements. So this is not an easy thing to find.
Right.
And so that this was like really exciting. Like, wow, I found Media Matters audited financial statements. And, you know, I was looking up just, you know, at the start of this investigation, hey, what are some of the like the signs of nonprofit fraud? And a recurring theme was that, hey, if you cannot review their nonprofit or the nonprofit's audited financial statements in addition to their tax return documents, if they're making that hard for you to get, then that's a sign that maybe they have something to hide.
I agree.
Nonprofits that are operating within the bounds of the law are going to be okay with showing their donors, hey, this is our books. This is how we're managing our money. And Media Matters is not giving out that information. It was a really exciting find in order to, you know, finally be able to see their audited financial statements, because it's a lot of information that people just have not been reviewing. They're not making it easily available.
And I can second that. It's not, as an investigator myself, investigating multi-million dollar fraud cases and frauds, not so much on the nonprofits, but, you know, I've had occasion to attempt to search nonprofits. What you found, Andrew Kerr, is really I don't want to say a smoking gun, but it's pretty doggone close to a smoking gun that, man, there needs to be some attention paid to this and attention paid to this right now. Because in revealing it, you got some titanium ones, brother. You really do.
Well, thank you.
All right. And for those out there who are offended by that, just get over it. Okay, you've got conflicting numbers on this. And when you take on a giant like Media Matters, you know they've got deep pockets for litigation. So we're not, folks, just understand this. We're asking questions here, and I trust you've captured, shall we say, you've got the authenticated, findings from your search, right?
Everything is linking back to the tax return documents, and I don't have their audited financial statements like posted on my site, but I have the link to the search database,
right,
and for Massachusetts. So, and then you just plug in Media Matters, and then you can view these documents yourself. It's available for public review, and that's exactly right. I'm asking the questions because everybody's been asking for years now, why isn't anybody auditing Media Matters? Why isn't anybody looking into this? So, okay, I'll do it. that's what I'm doing. I'm asking the questions. And these are some massive discrepancies that, that you're right, they need to be addressed.
This had to take you a long time. I'm looking at this. You actually, summarize this very nicely. And for those people who, don't really care to read investigative reports, and some of the worst reports I've read have been investigative reports by, you know, key investigators. They can investigate the heck out of something, but they can't write worth a darn. You do both very well, and that's not a false flattery. That's just a matter of fact. So, and you really summarized this very nice. Media Matters for America, in my view, based on the information developed by Andrew Kerr. And folks, if you're listening to this, whoever's listening to this, make this known far and wide. This needs to be investigated. Andrew Kerr needs to be thanked for this, but more importantly, he needs to be put on any talk show all across America. And in fact, he should be before Congress giving the findings. It's that big of a deal. And who's connected to Media Matters aside from Brock? I mean, how far does this octopus go with Media Matters?
Well, George Soros is a big donor. John Podesta collected paychecks for Media Matters, I believe, in 2012, a couple years ago. I honestly know nothing about Pizzagate. I haven't been looking into that.
Sure.
But American Bridge 21st Century,
yep,
and Correct the Record are two super PACs that share office space with Media Matters. And you can see in their financials that they're submitting to the Federal Election Commission that are also available for public review, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars at Comet Ping Pong. So
this
I'm just throwing it out there. So yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. That's fact. Do with it what you will. All the controversies that have been coming out with the Clinton Foundation, the James O'Keefe tapes showing allegations of election fraud, so now Pizzagate, Media Matters has a direct connection, 1 degree of separation from all of these things. They're that ingrained in the DC political culture, if you want to call it.
And there it is, folks. You know, the criminal cabal that's in power is so incestuous. One of the hubs of the wheel, and then this is my personal opinion, professional opinion as an investigator, and personal opinion as just a person, that Media Matters is a hub, one of many hubs of criminality, in my view. Again, this is my opinion, and it's America, so we're still allowed to talk about opinions, but the power behind Media Matters is immense. And when you've got Elefantis being named number 49 out of 50, top 50 most influential people in Washington, Elefantis, for those who don't know, owner of Comet Ping Pong Pizza, whatever that place is the former boyfriend of David Brock, the founder and the head of Media Matters. Yeah, all of this does connect. It's pretty incestuous, and the swamp is deep, and there's many alligators in there. Andrew, I don't want to dominate any further here. We got about just a few minutes, a couple of minutes left of your appearance here. Aside from me continuing to ring this bell on your behalf and you know, getting people to driving this home to your and driving people to your website, what can people do to help you, and what do we need to do at this point?
It's just spreading the word, asking the questions, not only supporting me in that regard, but also other independent voices in the news.
Okay.
I think it's just, you know, in my reports, I made the decision not to, you know, center it around me. I don't use like the words like I and me, right, and this is what I did. I use, you know, we are doing this and this is our project, because, you know, to be frank, I'm really bad at self promotion. So I'm really good at writing the reports and finding the interesting discrepancies. But this is absolutely a team project, to where, you know, I'm on this show because of a really long series of events, with somebody saying, "Hey, I really like this report," passing it off to somebody that they know, and then, you know, that networking process got kicked off. And that's not my doing. That's the people that are reading my reports and saying, like, "Hey, I want to get behind that guy." So this is far too many people to thank at this point, but that help is really truly appreciated. And retweeting a site, you know, may seem like armchair activism, but it really does help.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's incredibly helpful.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I just want to say thank you on behalf of our listeners. Your most recent investigative findings, although this is dated, what, December 15th, it doesn't matter. December 13th, December 15th, it's still topical, very topical, and it should be in the front and center of many people who want to see the swamp drain and want to see people held accountable for what's going on in D.C. David Brock, in fact, behind Media Matters. Media Matters is one of the entities that want to shut us up through this twisted series of fake news hyperbole. So, but Andrew, thank you for this update. This is an incredible update, and I just can't thank you enough. And we're gonna be keeping our eye on your investigative findings and promoting them.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you. Andrew Kerr, thecitizensaudit.com. If you don't appreciate, and I want everyone to appreciate the information this man has as an investigator, when we did it, fraud investigations, stuff like this is not easy to come by. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report, back with the Patriot Nurse. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is.
It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging six AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com.
Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.